It's KuzzaCast time! It's the sound of the underground. The beating of the trash goes round and round into the overflow pipe, where the weebs get down to the sound of the show. No, now it's that time. I started a podcast to read trash manga with my friends, and actually most of them were trash, but some of them weren't. AKA, the Trash Manga Friends Podcast Chapter 108. See you in my 19th trash manga. And don't forget, use the code MADEINCHELSEA to go buy your tie-in engagement ring, only while stocks last. This is the show that you know, where three people discuss two volumes of one trash manga, discussing what's soaring through the sky, what's petering along on the ground, and what's buried 6 feet under. I am your forever host, Sean Hoodsbush, joined by Mike End and Philadilly Circus. How are you both?
I was vibing to your intro. Man, thank when you. Are you dropping an album? SoundCloud link when?
maybe that'll be, I mean, if we ever get like a Patreon or something, that'll be like the goal, like X per month. Trash Manga Friends diss track drops.
Well, so far we've got that from you. We got that one time that I sang the intro. And we got whatever Phil's going to do next. I'm just waiting on Phil's one now.
You can keep waiting.
When are you going to serenade us, Phil?
I only serenade you in private, Mike.
That's just between us, is it?
That's just specialist time.
Oh, in that case, I'll shut up about it. Keep that between us.
My note for the banter section this week is, who hurt Mike in his childhood? But it's fine, because we discussed it before the show, and now I know explicitly what hurt Mike in his childhood.
I'll talk about that when we get to it, I guess.
Yes.
I mean, as long as this doesn't come with trigger warning.
No, it doesn't. It's just... Okay, so it's like, I have a very particular source for, like, most of the anime I watched as a kid. And it's...
Mm-hmm. Yes, the hentai sites, yes.
Well, when you start to learn more about me, like, every time you learn more about me and my history with these sort
don't
of things...
Don't do it, kids. Don't do it.
It just, everything starts to make just a tiny bit more sense. So, who hurt me as a child? Publications.
Well, we'll find
the
out.
The media.
Technically, yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, I was like really, really sad that we couldn't afford Sky or like any kind of digital TV, and I had to stick with terrestrial and like Pokemon and Digimon. And the more I learned, the more I'm like, nah, that was the right call. I was insulated from...
Like, we read older stuff a lot on the show.
No, we don't. No,
okay, no. We read it sometimes.
Phil doesn't read older stuff, therefore.
No, Phil does read old stuff, just not as much as newer stuff, because newer stuff is, you know, still coming out.
Because newer stuff shows up in the hot list of like, oh man, I want to read that isekai.
And also,
isekai
famously
didn't exist before Sword Art Online. So.
Famously so.
In the words of Barney Stinson, newer is always better. And the joke there is, no, it isn't.
No, it isn't. But also, you know, I've already read the older stuff in a nicest way. I don't keep track of that as
much. That's not true, Phil. You hadn't read this classic before today.
Classic is a strong word.
It's a very strong word.
Classic in the literal sense of the era.
Classic as in old, yes.
Is it classic or is it postmodern?
It's old.
It's shit, but let's get into it. So, this time around, per Mike's choice, we have been reading Tokyo Underground, an action shonen manga that ran from December 1997 to February 2005 for 14 volumes total. Written and drawn by Akinobu Uraku, who has done this series, and I believe he did one other afterwards. It has not been licensed, the manga version, but there is an anime, a 26-episode anime that came out from Pierrot. You can't stream it, but there are DVD and Blu-ray releases available out there. So if you want to watch it, you can hunt it down physically. But yes, as we've alluded to, this was a piece of Mike's childhood. So take us back, Mike. Tell us about Tokyo Underground and then explain.
So Tokyo Underground is about a guy who wants to live a normal high schooler life. He's just joined high school. He wants to... I believe he calls it a rose glasses or rose tinted life or something. Just like, he just wants to be a normal guy, but he just can't stop beating up thugs. Oh, he just can't stop himself. And then one day, for some reason unbeknownst to him, a hole opens up in his back garden. And suddenly, magic powers. And there's an underground city where there are magic powers. What?
Girls come out of the hole, Mike.
They do. That's about it for a premise. Okay, so as Sean mentioned in his intro there, this has not been licensed. And so I saw this as an anime as a kid. But you might be thinking, how did I see it as an anime as a kid? Because, you know, the internet back in the days before fire was invented did not exist. One of the ways I got into anime was through Dragon Ball Z and the more common ways that a lot of people did. And because I was kind of into anime then, a magazine got released. This is way back in 2006. A UK publication got released called Manga Force, The Ultimate Collection. And the first issue of it was very, very cheap. And the shtick was, it was a magazine about anime, I guess. I don't really remember what was in the magazine. But the key thing was, it came with a DVD. A DVD of either a famous anime movie or a few episodes of a show. And the first one was like really cheap. It was like £3. And it came with a DVD of Ghost in the Shell, like the original movie. And like, oh my God, it's amazing. And from that point in, I was hooked and I bought every single episode of this. If you're in the UK and you're into anime around that period of time, you might remember the TV ads. You may have even gotten it yourself. And there was like 100 issues, which weirdly ended with a movie which wasn't anime. I'm not sure why that happened. But there was some really good stuff in here. One of the things was also Tokyo Underground, which is how I ended up seeing this originally. And I remember it not being great, but I remember it being fine. And so I'm like, yeah, that's something from my childhood. Let's read the manga of that. I don't regret it.
You don't. You're standing by that statement.
Oh no, it's kind of funny.
Is this say you don't regret it in a Schadenfreude way, or you don't regret it unironically way?
I don't know. I'm catching a vibe from you guys, which is making me enjoy it way more. So probably the Schadenfreude.
It's very reminiscent of some shonens of the period. It's in that it's 90s underwhelming shonen.
It's pretty underwhelming.
I feel like you could have scribbled out a few things, replaced them with things from other series, and you'd be like, oh my God, it's that series instead.
Oh, absolutely. Creativity is not really a thing that this series has a concept of.
Yeah, I remember from the anime that, because I've seen the entire thing, because I feel like I got all of the magazines apart from maybe the last like handful, because there's some, looking at the list, there were some like Naruto movies in here, and I don't remember ever seeing those. But yeah, I think I've seen every episode of the anime which was published in this magazine. And my memory of it was a little bit more fast-paced than this, and that it was just, boy has magical wind powers which he can use to slice through things like long-range sword attacks, like another anime protagonist we know. And then he goes into this underground city and runs around and fights a lot. That's it. That's all I remember.
Considering how much of this is fighting, you're probably blessed that you saw the anime version, because this person can't draw fights.
there were fights in this.
There was flailing and a mess. I mean, admittedly, to give the guy one tiny iota, it doesn't help when you're like, what will my three of my four lead characters' powers be? I know, gravity, wind, and healing. The most visible powers, as you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I give them that tiny bit of a doubt, but no, it, because there are other people who have fire and electricity and they look like shit too. So,
yeah.
And water.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, we do fight ostensibly water users, yeah. I mean, they tell me they're water users.
Yes. Like, because the shtick of this is closer to like a fairy tale kind of thing where everyone gets an element and then they can control that element. Everyone gets one. Yeah,
nah, fairy tale's better. No. Wow, yeah. I said that about a series.
You did.
Also, you say this, Mike. The problem is we're introduced to this concept. So basically this opens with there's a girl being chased with her bodyguard who has gravity powers.
Yeah.
And basically they break out, and then later on we're being told all about this magic system. Mm-hmm. I use the word system very loosely here.
Uh-huh.
And we're told people have one of four kinds of magic. Yep. Fire, water, lightning, or wind.
We're told those are the most common. Others do exist. Those are the four elemental types, although weirdly as well, because our protagonist gets wind eventually, and they're like, but wind's super special. I'm like, why?
Yeah, they're like, these are the most common ones, except no one in the underground has wind. Like, then how did you know it existed?
Does no one in the underground have it? No one we've seen has it.
No, they say wind's never, wind and healing, they're both one of a kind users.
Yeah, so it's really weird, and the logic in this, at multiple occasions, just does, it doesn't logic.
No, there's no logic, Mike, because one of the whole core premises is they live in an underground city, and then we learn later on there's some bullshit with a dragon that's comatose and some other nonsense. But like the whole premise is they hate the surface because they were locked off. But we're told from the beginning that you could just go down this railway and there you are. So I'm like, so you can just travel between these worlds. There's nothing stopping you.
Can I just point out an even more egregious problem here?
Oh, please do, Phil. This is your area of expertise.
In chapter one, we're introduced to Gravity Fist Girl.
Uh-huh.
And she's trying to escape the underground.
Mm-hmm.
And she does this by pushing the ceiling upwards. And everyone's like, how did you do that with gravity? And it's like, why didn't she just pull the ceiling down with
gravity? Why didn't she just crush everybody?
Well, I have less issues with like the way you use gravity, because it's not like her powers are explained or anything, but you know, I've seen other series with gravity characters. Princess Principal, if you want to see a great series which has someone who uses gravity as a power. But yeah, it's just, yeah, they're just like, oh, how could you get free? I'm like, well, it wasn't fucking hard apparently, so
yeah.
Apparently you can just leave by going down a tunnel in the middle of Tokyo.
And then, you know, as we said, that they made a giant hole in this guy's garden, and that's never really addressed again. That's just there now.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah. Which is weird, because I feel like I remember reading the synopsis for this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, strange hole appears in Tokyo, and
yeah, it does a lot of heavy lifting, that synopsis.
that it's irrelevant.
It does a lot of lying.
The whole is irrelevant.
Because okay, we start with this protagonist originally, who, and this is like completely irrelevant.
Which one? Are we on about Chelsea or Rumina?
Rumina, the boy.
Rumina, the boy.
The male character who gets our actual protagonist,
yeah.
Generic Guy McGee.
Well, you can't have a female protagonist in the show, and come on now.
I'm so right. That would be crazy. I'm glad that was fixed in the 20 years following this.
And so we're with him when we go away from our elfin lead-esque underground system intro.
Oh man, yeah, let's trust out all the 90s references. It reminds me of Alice Academy and Loveless. Let's just throw them all out there.
Oh, I'm going to make one to Bleach in a second. And
you fucking what?
Wait,
I mean,
for
we've
it.
We've always talked about Naruto, so when are we throwing in One Piece while we're at it?
It's because there's this kid, and he's like, I don't know, like a god of fighting, I guess? Because apparently
the fighting master, I think, or something like that.
King of fighters.
That's the one, yeah.
Can't stop beating up thugs. He just can't stop himself.
I really do like the way you're presenting that. It's like, oh no, I tripped and I beat up another thug.
That's how the manga presents it. He's just like, I just can't stop myself. Oh, I want just a normal life. But not
here
I
go
again.
Beating all fucks again.
I just love killing.
Nah, not killing.
Nah, he doesn't kill. He doesn't kill.
I don't know.
He gets killed, but you know, doesn't kill.
He does get killed at one point, yeah.
He gets better.
So that's the reference to the Bible. And
so we're calling him Jesus.
And he may as well be in this manga. But yeah, he just can't stop beating up thugs. Oh, if only he could have a normal life. And then, what's this? The hole appears. Ah, oh, my life's turned upside down forever. It's like, why? What is the point of this character?
He's the lead character, Mike. What do you mean,
you
what's
talk
the point?
About what's the point of this character? He's got a friend who appears in this series.
That's the character who's what's the point.
Yeah, I'm not convinced he was in the anime.
No, I can believe he was there, you just never realised, because he...
Yeah, there's a friend character who's got the stereotypical thick glasses with the spiral pattern on them. I'm sure there's a name for that, but I don't know. And, like, yeah, he's just there.
I mean, all the designs are in their own way stereotypical 90s. Like, Chelsea has her, like, gauntlet stuff, so she's kind of looking, like, mildly like Saber out of Fate.
Gravity Fist Girl, yeah.
Yeah, Gravity Fist Girl. Rumina, the leader, say, has his, like, martial arts headband and everything on that. As we said, giant goggles on. Jinosuke, the irrelevant comedy relief support character. Ruri, the damsel, the Princess Peach, essentially, of the series, just looks like a generic girl, which, again, fits with the time.
Because, yeah, then the people that come out of this hole are the Gravity Girl and...
So fucking dumb.
And the Princess Peach character, as Sean just put it. And that's when we're introduced to the whole concept of these magic powers, I guess, that are being developed, studied, something in the Tokyo Underground. It's never quite
all
explained.
Of the above.
Yeah.
I mean, visualize it. It's kind of, for people who've seen a more modern series, it's kind of like Raildex in some regards.
I'll take
your
word for
it. The implication was apparently the Underground came to exist because at some point the Japanese government was like, we want to study like some weird shit, like how to give people magic and elemental powers.
Yeah. And then they sealed it off at some point. Yeah,
and as part of this, they ended up creating a dragon. And they were like, no, that's a bit dangerous. Let's just like shut the door on all of that.
Yeah.
Including all the people that they gave magic powers to. And they didn't like that.
Weird that. Not that, you know, they were ever stopped from leaving, but whatever.
But apparently they were.
Apparently,
they were.
Yes.
But apparently they were.
They were. Ignore the part in, like, the start of chapter one where it's like, yeah, they're connected to the surface by a railroad.
Or, you know, in, like, chapter 11 or whatever it was, where they're like, we need to go to the underground. Let's walk along this
Let's go this way. I'm like, well, why don't let's jump down the hole you made?
Yeah, and all the fact that they were able to make that hole, implying that the underground was kind of just right there underground.
Right there, yeah. It wasn't in like fairness, very she deep. Was on the run, but yeah, it does imply like anyone could just, you could just get your Gurren Lagann drill and just drill up to the surface. Quite
don't
easily.
Even need to do that. Get a shovel.
That's what I was going to say, just, you know, walk down the street, find a manhole cover.
Yeah.
Congrats, what that's probably dig? An entrance.
Yeah, by underground, did they mean sewers? Is that what it is?
Oh, it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Got it.
Uh-huh. I think the implication was they're like in the metro line or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, although...
With all the rail tracks and everything.
I can tell one thing I remember from the anime later on is that this thing is... This complex is so deep underground that a sky has developed down there. So
yes,
no.
We do see that in like the Omake chapter.
No, yeah, no. There's actually a sky down there. It's so deep that, you know, a sky is as developed.
Well, when they get to the surface, like, oh my god, this is the sun.
Yeah,
this is.
I mean, there's
moon.
There's no sun and moon
Christ.
Down there. That'd be crazy. But there
how,
is. A sky.
How sheltered? I get that the Princess Peach character, Ruri, I'll use her actual name now, is meant to be sheltered. But when you're at the stage where you're like, what's that giant orb in the night sky? Whoa, this is a room?
No, fucking hell.
I
don't mind that because the implication is she and some of the other characters presumably have lived in the underground their entire life. They've never seen the sky.
But to the point where you don't know what the moon is?
I mean, apparently she's never been to school, Sean. She probably can't read either.
The reason why that she's sheltered and she was on the run in the first place, which is why they had to escape, is because she is like a one-of-a-kind person.
She is the priestess of life.
That's what they call her, the priestess of life, because she has healing powers so powerful that it turns out she can bring people back to life.
Well, very much she's the only one with that power as well.
Yes, but it is like so powerful that, you know, she can raise
she
the
can
dead.
Resurrect people. Yeah. Which has apparently never been done before.
Apparently
because
no
one has ever seen it used or knows what it does because it's that strong. No one dares use it.
I have to assume that they have some method of detecting this sort of power, like their powers in general, without them being used, because everyone seems to know everything. The fact they know that wind exists, wind powers exist, and they apparently don't exist in the underground at all.
Considering the villains have a ranking system, yeah, I assume they have some way of measuring power.
Yeah.
You say rankings, they have a second in command and a fifth in command and a...
They talk about, like, this is the number five in the company, this is number one in the company.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever explained if that's in terms of power or anything, though, or just...
No, they do say, like, fifth strongest, first strongest.
Oh, right.
And then you also have the vice CEO and the CEO, so who knows if they...
I mean, maybe they just had a good old dust-up and went, all right, this is how we are.
Oh, what was that? That manhwa or something we did recently. Oh my god, fucking
names. Narrow it down.
I was going to say, you need to be a bit more specific.
Solo leveling.
No, it may not have even been a manhwa.
The gamer.
No, it was...
Battle through the heavens. Oh, Soul Land.
No, it was more recent than that.
I'm pretty sure we've now done all of the manhwas.
It may not have even been a manhwa. It was, I think it was Korean.
right.
Okay.
There was like a princess.
Man, is this all staying in? We'll find out.
There was a princess, right, yeah, right. Okay.
Got married to some like conniving guy, and they decided that they were going to rule the kingdom together, even though she was like an outcast princess. There was like a bodyguard in that, and he was green flavored, and.
Beware the villainess.
I don't know, am I?
There was a guy who was green flavoured.
Yeah, and...
Not Nano Machine. The cloud, bloomed by a cloud.
Yeah, I think that was it. I think that was it.
Where are you going with this, Mike?
There was a point where there was the bodyguards, and they were like, let's have a fight to decide who's going to be the bodyguards.
Who's going to be in charge.
Yeah, just like that. Maybe they did that.
Right. Fucking hell, that was a stretch and a half. The thing was, you started this tangent, and I was like, well, the most recent one we did was Fire Bloom by a Cloud, but I was like, I don't know what he's talking about with, like, princesses and getting married and bodyguards fighting for ranking, and couldn't possibly be that one.
Things that didn't make the edit 2024.
No, this is it. unless this episode runs 2 hours, in which case something's gone badly wrong. But
this is your meat and ingredient for the year.
Hey, at least I was right for this one.
You were not technically wrong in your description.
But yeah, it's kind of like that.
Maybe they did that.
They had a dust up, they had a scrap, and they were like, you're in charge. Okay, I'm
you're like, well, clearly you are the strongest.
Yeah,
you are the second strongest, and so on.
And everyone else is pointless.
I mean, yeah, because we read two volumes, and we've already found the second in command.
Yeah.
I think we started at the fifth in command, to be fair.
Yeah. But what is it with manga that does this? It's not just this. This is still a thing in modern times, where they, like, we are just going to jump straight to the strongest guy, and our protagonist can just win.
To be fair, to an extent, Bleach did that as well, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
It went, here's some random mooks, and we're at vice captains.
I mean, it's similar to the way, could you see this in a bunch of anime these days, where they'll do like a flash forward at the start, or like video games as well do this, where they have a flash forward at the start where you've got all your powers, and it's like, oh, whoa, cool. And we're like, and now we're going to spend the next 5 years getting to this point.
Yeah, but they don't.
You played CrossCode the other day, and you just had that.
No, because in this, we have like a one chapter training montage, and now he can slice boulders
in half. What was the point of the trek? He didn't learn anything. They just did some vanilla off-screen vanilla training, and they're like, a week's passed. They go into this cave where you set up like...
Where he conveniently gets the Sword of the Wind.
Where he gets the Sword of the Wind after he gets through traps, like, I don't even fucking know what the guy said. Like, it's shit like you open a door and a fucking block of chalk falls on your head. Like, that level of, like, this'll train you. What? And then, yeah, he gets the Sword of the Wind. And I don't even know. Chelsea goes in with him. I don't even know why, because there was nothing in there for her to get. So what was the point?
The thing was, Sword of the Wind was purely coincidental as well, because basically his granddad comes back and trains them and is like, in here is the family heirloom sword.
This ties me into another point. Why the fuck does he have a sword? The start of the story is like, look how fucking great he is at martial arts style fighting with like fists and kicks and everything. And they're like, but no, he needs to use a wooden sword. Has to be a sword.
I wouldn't even go as far as martial arts. It was just good old street fighting.
It's just like, I know he, I think he has like an umbrella or something, which he does use at that point, but it's like everything in the early days implies that his expertise is, you know, beating people up with his fists and kicking them. And then, nah, it's all about swords.
No, because you see, as a kid, he did start to learn the ancient sword style of his family, but he stopped caring and didn't really.
I mean, maybe he doesn't fight people with melee, because then, even though he's a fighting master, this one fire dude showed up, and because we've got to show how insanely overpowered they are, he one-shots the fighting master.
Yes, that is true.
So, like, Kamiha's it. No, it's not Kamiha. What's the Indiana Jones one? When you rip someone's heart out.
Kalima. Yes, he does that.
Essentially does that to the guy.
Calamari.
Sure. I mean, he does use fire, so he does make him a little bit crispy.
It's not just like, they're like, it's not even like, oh, how will he get, no, he just gets one shot. It's like, oh.
Yes.
This
doesn't make any sense from the story you've just told up until this point, where he could beat up older people.
This is the fire user who has Wolverine claws.
Oh man, and now we're doing like a Dragon Ball Z reference, because and or Star Wars, where like, you strike me down, I will raise more powerful.
No, the Dragon Ball Z reference is when his grandfather shows up, but it's definitely not Master Roshi.
Well, that's just generic old man.
That's
Master.
Just
old man is a master, is a pervert. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure Roshi standard. Was the trope setter for that.
Entirely possible, but I mean, the whole old, maybe. Drunken, lewd master has been a thing in like Japanese culture forever.
Right, true.
So, I don't know about in manga specifically. But...
I know Drunken Master with me. I don't remember them being perverts.
I mean, I've seen Japanese folklore. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you bought this magazine. You've seen Urusei Doji.
I have, yeah. Two of the things. And a magazine aimed at kids, I will remind you.
It's anime. It's fine.
Two of the issues, back-to-back, were two Urusei Doji movies. Legend of the Overfiend and Legend of the Demon
kids.
Web.
It's fine.
Womb, sorry.
Why would it have adult stuff in it? It's for kids. I mean, to be fair, you said Ghost in the Shell's the first one you saw, and
Ghost
that's got
nudity first,
in it.
It does. I mean, yes, it does.
You also said it's also got Blood of the Last Vampire, which I'm pretty sure has got nudity in it.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure this thing may not have been marketed at kids. I might be misremembering that, but as a kid, I bought it.
I mean, it's fine. The parents would have bought it, because they'd have been like, it's animated.
Yeah, it's
also,
cartoons.
To be fair, you know, we're in the UK. 15 yes. rating exists.
That is true, but I don't know.
We don't mind some boobage in our films.
Hey, yeah. No, we can get away with anything. Like, you saw the Simpsons movies PG, if I remember.
That's great.
And that has.
Why would it not be?
Because you see Bart's penis.
Oh yes.
The elongated scene of Bart. Skateboarding naked
covered,
all across town, conveniently keeping it covered the entire time, and then him just skating along, and then past a bush which has a conveniently placed cutout exactly where his penis is, and it just lingers on it for the longest fucking time.
It might be my favorite Simpsons joke of all time, just because it's so unexpected.
I don't know. I think for me, it's just that follow-up with Homer is like, oh no, this is the worst day of my life. And Homer's just like, worst day so far. It's like, oof.
Yeah, but the reason I like that joke is especially because if you're only going to watch this movie if you like The Simpsons, and The Simpsons has always done a thing where Bart appears naked, but they've always found a way of conveniently hiding.
I mean,
the
not just
junk.
Everything, like so much stuff will just conveniently filter things. So to just have it like that, it's just like, oh, okay.
And then all of a sudden it's just like there and you can't look at anything else. It's a fantastic
brilliant.
Joke.
Masterpiece. Now back to this shit.
Because in this fight with Fireman, who does not put out fires, very much the opposite.
Don't honor him with a name, Phil. Don't. He's not worth a name.
Hey, he kills our protagonist.
Yeah, you know what? He's done more damage than most of the bad guys we read about.
Yeah, he actually kills our protagonist in this fight. And he does a bunch of other stuff, which is the dumbest shit I've ever heard. But like, one of the things being, he surrounds someone with fire, and the fire burns all the oxygen in the circle. And it's like, oh god, I can't breathe. It's like, My dude, you're outside.
It's like you're outside, like in a small room, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
The implication I got, which again would be impossible to tell because the art's that bad, but the implication I got was it was like she was trapped in like a sphere of, or semi-sphere of sphere.
No, I'm pretty sure it was just a circle. I'm pretty sure it was open at the top.
The implication I got was that it was sealed off, because otherwise, yes, you're outside, you'll never run out of air.
I'm pretty sure that it was not only not sealed off at the top, but the flames weren't taller than them, so they could just stand up and then.
No, I mean, I don't think of the fight's too hard.
They may as well.
Also, you know, if only she had like gravity powers and could.
Oh, it was her. I couldn't actually remember who got caught in there. But yes,
about fire.
Yes, if only she could. I mean, can gravity put out fire? Is that how fire works?
I mean, just. Squish it.
I
down.
Mean, in theory, gravity can do fucking anything. It's overpowered as fuck, but not that she uses it really at all to any effect.
I mean, she uses it to push the ceiling upwards. Why not just boost herself out of it? In fact, the fire circle didn't even look that thick. Just run through it.
Or, like, I don't know, do anything to put the fire out?
In a world where I've seen both better gravity users, like I said, the Princess Principle, but also if you take this power to its logical conclusion where you get Accelerator from Index, and I'm like, just do anything with this power, lady. You've got, like, you should have the most broken power in this series compared to fucking Wind McGee, which is the protagonist, and I'm supposed to be like, oh, Wind, yeah.
All this fire is on the ground, just fly.
Do you know what's better than cutting a boulder in half? Crushing it into, like, dust.
You like super condense it like a fucking like it's a dwarf star and lob it at someone.
That it's actually interesting that you say that because
Oh, does she finally learn how to use her powers after this?
No. That concept does exist because the water guy, I can't remember if it was in this or if it's in the anime afterwards, but the water guy we encounter, he there was multiple.
The chapter specifically said the two water users, which you might miss considering one of them doesn't really do anything.
Everyone looks the same in this.
Chelsea and the vice CEO have a fight, but it's kind of off screen. And then at one point they're like, oh no, I'm losing. I'm like, are you?
I don't remember then. But the concept of like condensing stuff does exist because one point a person uses a whip, which is made out of an entire river condensed into a whip shape. So that concept exists. it's like, real stupid.
Like the only real like actual clever power use I can think of in this entire thing is the guy who makes like a mimic. Hologram, but not hologram. Yeah, like a clone out of water. Mm-hmm. And that's like the one time where I'm like, yeah, that's kind of clever. And then everything else.
I'm saying clone, like he does it in the image of
makes a body double.
Priestess of Life.
Yes, because she held the lead character's hands once, and now he's in love forever.
Of course.
I mean, that was the one thing he wanted in life, to hold a girl's hand. The goddamn degenerate.
How lewd.
There's
motivations we get than for a lot of characters.
I mean, quite frankly, let's just go to Chainsaw Man. Let's go to the logical conclusion.
What's that?
The better conclusion. Just want to touch some boobs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think he wants to do that as well, but you know, because he is like very much like, oh man, why can't I have my alone date with her at the school? Or
yeah,
that's another stupid thing. Like she's like, oh man, I really want to go because I've like been sheltered my whole life. I really want to go to the school when she learns about the concert. Though I'm like, fair, makes sense. Right. But then they go at night when there's one there.
This thing that threw me because this comes up because he's going to school. Yeah, and she's like, oh man, I really want to go to school, and he's like, oh yeah, all right, we can go to school, and you're like. Pretty sure you can't just take random people into school, but then it's like, oh no, it's fine because we're going at night. And it's like, well,
that's not really going to school,
is
it?
What's the fucking point?
But it'll be good enough because it's just a place where lots of people be. I'm like that because, like, there's plenty enough anime and things out there where you can just fill in a form off screen and now, oh, they've enrolled in this school even though they have no history,
right? So I don't know why this I've gotten to this point in my train of thoughts.
Okay.
But it's just reminded me, at one point, they're like, obviously they're still being chased by these people from the underground. Because they're trying to bring back this priestess so she can resurrect the dragon. Mm-hmm. And they can take revenge on the surface world.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, once these bad guys catch up to them, Chelsea, is it? She's like, oh my god, how did they find us? And it's like, they
it's impossible.
You know that giant hole which is in his front yard?
They followed the path of destruction, is what they did.
And it's also just like, one of my biggest gripes here is, they're like, okay, yes, we need to get to the surface world for some reason, and escape and hide. And it's like, alright, so you've gone to the surface world, why not just keep going?
Yeah, like, they get to the surface world, and then they get to the surface world through this hole, and then just decide to stay at the house next to the hole, and they're like, how did they find us?
Like, go to the other side of the country, probably wouldn't find you.
Go to a different country.
Get on a plane.
I think at first the idea is that she's injured and slash they're resting, but yeah, as soon as the fire guy's taken care of, just fuck off at that point, just go.
I can understand to an extent taking time to rest. But if you're being chased, you're actively being chased, you wouldn't stay still if you could still move.
Which, in fairness, Rui can't for several days. But also, they don't get attacked in that time anyway.
After the fire guy appears on the surface, yes.
After she performs a miracle, yeah, she's a bit tired for a few days. So.
Also, Chelsea could presumably carry her on her
That's crazy. Why would a girl with gravity powers be able to carry someone?
Well, you know, this could be like his... a few thousand yen, get a taxi to...
Nah, he's too busy going, like, women can't hit this hard. This is weird. Something must be up. A girl could never punch this strongly. Oh, it's because she's got gravity. Got it. I'm like, oh, great. We're in that era of manga again. Okay.
Women, that era of manga?
Punching? Can't have that. No. Why would they be strong?
I feel like we never left that era of manga.
Nah, we're in a better-ish place these days.
We did Girls Wild. At some point,
yeah, we did Girls of the World. Like, My Hero had several strong women in it, you know.
Rioting,
no,
strong female leads.
Are they leads, Phil?
female leads.
Sean's reaction of no,
right. I take it back. All of the like Icky Tozen, progressive as fuck.
I'm not calling it progressive.
Hey, you said it.
I'm not calling it progressive, but the ladies hit hard in it.
Yeah, but the men hit harder, so fuck you.
The men don't hit harder. He very specifically doesn't punch. That's the whole point. He was like, no, no, I can't touch a lady.
Right.
I'll have a heart attack. Or something.
Yeah, no, because he...
Oh, no, that was Dragon's Rising again, yeah.
Yeah, because it's too lewd or some shit, aren't
it? Yes, because, yeah, if he gets turned on, he'll die.
His genetic disease of, yeah, being a pervert.
Stupid.
Yes, it was. But then somehow better than this.
But eventually, maybe. Unfortunately, despite all their best attempts to hide next to the hole they made, Healer lady gets taken back to, gets kidnapped and taken back to the underground.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, I mean, you played Super Mario Sunshine recently. It's one of those where Princess Peach gets to hang around in the prologue. She actually gets to be there and then gets whisked away. And the idea is that, oh, now you'll have an emotional attachment to her. So you'll be invested in the whole quest to get them back. Like Rukia in Bleach.
This is exactly the thing I was going to say. It's Bleach. It's a guy with a sword who can do long-range slash attacks, and his powerful female friend who he's just met gets taken to this place that he's got to go with, full of powerful people that he's got to go and rescue. It's Bleach!
I mean, except Rukia gets a chance to, you know, do things like establish a character and a relationship with Ichigo and things.
That's not important. Ugh. Why even bother?
I mean, in that case, you must have loved this, though, because, yeah, Rui just gets carried away, and we're like, now I've got to risk my life for her. I'm like,
why?
Okay. Chelsea, I get. In fact, no. Chelsea, yeah, I get in that why she would then want to go back, but also then she decides to wait a day anyway. So I'm like, okay, so you weren't that close friends with her.
You ain't in that much of a hurry. But yeah, like, Chelsea makes sense because, yeah, clearly there was something, some kind of connection because she risked life and limb to get her out in the first place. I mean, didn't go very far, but they got out, I guess. But yeah, then protagonist man who just realized that he's got this power, he's like, I'm going to go down there and help.
You could go down the route of, well, she did save my life. even though she herself was the one who got Mitt killed. Yep. But they don't really go down. It's just he has the feels for her now because, you know, he touched the girl and now he's...
They held hands.
They held
hands. They must get married.
No, she held his hands. Let's be clear here.
Hand-holding was only unidirectional.
Hand-holding, you say?
Oh, no, it's one of those, manga.
You remind me of another point here.
Oh, yeah?
So Chelsea is assigned as Ruri's bodyguard, basically.
Uh-huh.
Is what we're talking about. That is their relationship.
Pretty much, the company.
By the nebulous company.
Mm-hmm.
If your giant plan relies on this one girl and her powers, why are you only assigning one bodyguard to her?
Yeah.
Like, just have a whole bunch of them. Never one at a time. Just so, you know, one of them can keep an eye on the other if you've only got two bodyguards. So, you know, one of them doesn't go, you know what? I don't think this is a good idea. I'm going to, take this girl and help her escape. Yeah.
If you go down this path, just do the elf and lead way. Just lock her up in, a bodysuit, straight jacket thing, and then there you go. Just
make sure you put the very useless helmet on her as well.
If we're going down this route, to an extent, I'm kind of like, why have they not just got to resurrect the dragon already?
Yeah, there's some sort of issue here, I guess, where they haven't been able to do it
yet. The implication was she's never used her powers before. No one knows how these powers work because it's never been used before, apparently. So the first time anyone's seen it used is when she resurrects our protagonist, I've already forgotten the name of.
Rumina, I think.
Yes,
wow, Mike knew the name. Hot damn.
Clearly, I'm
invested. I'm too lazy to pull up the cheat sheet.
You're dredging up the childhood memories.
And, oh no, not again.
And to an extent, I get that, but it really is just your whole plan is just dependent on her using that one ability. Just you know what? An hour a day, just stick her in front of this dragon, just be like, go on, have at.
I can kind of understand them not doing it yet because they've never used it before. They don't know how it works. It may not work and it may kill her. I don't know. But now that she's used it once and they know that she's used it once.
If I was giving this benefit of the doubt, it would be they want to, you know, give her a Stockholm syndrome with someone. So that then when Chelsea says, could you not just please use the power on the dragon? She'll be like, yes, Chelsea, anything for you, my one friend.
I don't know, that's giving it a lot of credit.
That would be storytelling.
This thing is patently uninterested in doing. It doesn't want
to.
It wants to be a shonen, and it just barely crosses the line for
I don't shonen. Even think it does, really. It's
you have fights, there's a guy.
Do you?
Fights are happening. I might not be able to tell what's happening, but they're happening.
You touched on this earlier, but the art in this thing is atrocious. I know
I feel like a lot of the fighting happens just off-panel.
I know it's of its era art, because this is from, the 90s? Mid-90s?
Late 90s, early 90s.
Yeah, so, I know the art style is of its era, so I can forgive it a certain amount for that, because it's just...
That's just my thing with the art style, The character designs, I think, are fine. I feel fine. I'm not saying good. I said fine.
Go on.
But then as soon as anything starts moving or anything starts happening, it disintegrates into a mess of I don't know.
I'm not going to go as far as face blindness, but I really did struggle to be who's this person? What's going on?
I had a similar experience.
I didn't have face blindness in my case.
But... So it wasn't quite as bad as that, but I think the most notable example is Seki, the Wolverine Claw fire user. He has a hat or a helmet or something like that on him, and at some point he loses it and his long flowing hair comes out, and I'm like, who's this guy? What's going on? What happened here?
See, the difference is I didn't know that, but I also didn't notice he had a helmet hat thing that he lost, so... To me, it was always just, that's the fire dude they're fighting.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. For the most part...
He's apparently using fire.
Yeah, for the most part, I'm like, yes, I could tell who he was because he's the one with the hat helmet thing.
I mean, he's the one with the Shadow Force, or whatever they're called, which we're told is an intrinsic part of their, their grunts, their mooks. You'll be seeing them all the time after this point, right?
I mean, this goes back to the point of yes, here are the bad guys. We're starting at the fifth in command.
Yeah.
It's why even bother establishing a big evil organization if you're just going to start
I mean, maybe they only have like 5 or 6 people, Phil. Maybe he's actually the weakest.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe he's just claiming he's the biggest, baddest. But in the reality, he's just Steve from accounting.
It's when you go like, Mike's in the top 5 of Inscription.
I'll have you know, I'm in the top 4 of Inscription.
Oh, sorry, might be.
But yeah, no, I get you. It's like you don't know or care how powerful any of these people are. You can only go based on the actions they perform. And you can't tell what's going down in these fights.
Supposedly we see the strongest one, which is like one of the water duo, Taylor, and he seems to fight our lead to a stalemate-ish, hard to say, where they just, one knocks the other down and then screens a bit, and then the other knocks the other. It's just...
The implication is Taylor's just kind of kicking ass until Ruminil, our main character, goes, oh wait, I can do the windy thing.
Yes, the one
and
thing
he does
you can
the windy
do, yes.
Thing, and he does it properly for a change. Then he's like, oh my god, he's so goddamn strong.
And yeah, I never understood that he was like that strong either. And I understand that what Sean said at the beginning, they went with the 3 main focus characters are the most invisible abilities. So it is difficult to show this, but that was the choice they made.
I mean, this is shown like even earlier on when they're talking about the fact he has gained windy powers and he's supposedly trying to train it. And he's like, no, I can't be bothered. And then he throws his stick in the ground or whatever it is, wooden sword probably, and he walks off, and then someone's like, oh my god, the wind around the sword though. And it's like, what are we looking at here? We're just looking at a sword, yeah. In the ground.
I mean, it's fine if they're invisible, because again, they're fighting fire, water and electric, and those do have visual traits that you can draw, so you should be able to see both what their power is and what their power's doing to it in response.
There's just a huge disconnect. Like, we've talked about the choreography of fights before in manga, choreography in huge air quotes, but it's like, nothing connects to anything. I never feel like any of the powers are coming from these people, with the exception of maybe Gravity Girl, Woman.
Even then, the only time
I understood a fighting move was when he threw a trash can at the electric girl. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Because nothing else is fucking working, so yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's like, here, let me try using my windy thing by throwing a rock.
And then she blocks the rock.
And then she's like, well, I didn't expect you to throw a trash can. Now I'll have to get serious. I'm like, okay.
Oh god, he's using his can food.
My ribbon's fallen off. Now I'm losing control of my powers.
Yeah, like,
Was this established? Was this a thing?
No,
why is this a thing?
What happened to a ribbon? Like,
Was she wearing a ribbon?
She was wearing a ribbon, and then she's like, oh no, I've lost my ribbon.
I didn't catch that either. I assumed I just like blanked on a panel or something, but
I legitimately read that and I was like, in the nicest way, I read this a lot faster than I usually do.
Sure. It's not a lot to it, yeah.
Yes. Definitely, probably the reason. And I was like, okay, I've probably missed something. Scroll back up a few pages. I'm like, no, just she apparently just lost her ribbon. Okay.
I mean,
she's the character archetype I do like, so she gets a point for that. But otherwise, yeah, no, it's just no. I mean, presumably she's the character who'll join the good guys by the end. That seems to be she seems to be like the rival / anti-hero who would join the team at some point. Especially because towards the end of that fight, she says, and this could be just bad translation, because again, no official localization of this, but she's like, oh no, if people on the surface have powers, why am I even with the company? It's like, okay, this never comes up again.
No. From my memory of it, like basically none of this has any bearing on the rest of the story. Like, the story just devolves into fights and nothing but fights. And if we're talking about just the manga here, I don't think those fights are going to be very well done anyway. Like, it's just... Because that's the other thing that my main takeaway from this, apart from the weird logic, the bad art, the non-existent storytelling, apart from all of that, it's so boring.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, I was bored. I picked this up and I was reading it and nothing of any kind of substance was ever happening.
And you were like, I've done it again. Oh no.
The most substantive thing that happens in the entire thing is he dies, which is then immediately reversed, and it is
ending chapter two with your protagonist dying at the point where it could still stick is a move, I will say.
Good old Attack on Titan.
There it is.
I mean, I'm not going to entertain that debate again, but this is how I think even Mike would say this is at the point early enough, because there are anime that do it, where this could stick if you die that early in the story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Asterisk. And the asterisk is, there's no way that these people were going to be the protagonists.
Chelsea could have been the lead. No.
Could have been, technically, but no, not happening. Like,
It was Jinsuke all along.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way that anyone else was going to be the main protagonist in this.
I mean, I think the issue for me is, like, he dies. They're like, oh, shit, that is, as you say, big thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back straight away, and you're like, okay, I mean, there's not necessarily anything wrong with that per se. It's just, that's it. He just comes back, and it's like, well, you know, there's no drawbacks to this. There's no consequences to this. It's just...
I mean, the drawback, theoretically, she's out of action for several days, and now he has wind powers. So potentially her resurrection is actually a resurrection of all life, and by that they mean the powers as well, but no.
But in the nicest way, what the fuck did she do outside of resurrecting him anyway? Her being out of commission for a few days is kind of a non-issue.
Yeah, like...
I mean, it would be an issue if they were trying to run, like you'd said earlier.
Yeah, if they were trying to move somewhere, yes.
Or if someone had taken that opportunity to mount a second assault on them, like another attack.
To give it one iota of credit, this is one of the very few times where they justify and now we're going to retreat for no reason, because he's like, oh shit, wind powers, never seen those before in the history of the underground, better go report this.
I mean, I suppose that's the thing, like, I'm assuming her resurrection abilities are what gave him his wind powers, basically.
Yes.
It is Dragon Ball Z.
Like, because that is when he gains that ability. He didn't have them before, and now all of a sudden he's got windy abilities.
Yeah, because ostensibly he's the first surface person to ever have powers now.
Until we find out he's not a surface person.
I mean, I'm waiting for something or else to happen, but you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Jinosuke had them all along.
Actually, this he's a descendant of the dragon, and...
A very vague memory, so this one could be wrong. But I think his granddad also have wind powers?
I am assuming his family were from the underground and
yeah, maybe.
At some point escaped. Given the fact that the sword was the sword of the wind.
Given that the underground was maybe a foot under their back garden, yeah.
Also that, yeah.
Even that no one in this story, or the world at large, really seems to take register of the fact that, oh, underground, magical powers, nah.
This is going back to what I was saying earlier about just being boring. It's like, no one seems to care about anything.
Can you imagine if Time Team had uncovered this? It's like Tony Robinson just going around with like their GPS one day and they're like, wait, what's this tunnel? Oh my god.
Bring up another thought. So, the underground is apparently created by the government.
Supposedly.
And then they sealed it up because they're like, oh no, what have we done? Surely the government's keeping like tabs on all this.
No, when you seal something up, famously, you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Famously, you know, when you put the plans for the nuclear bomb in a bunker where no one can find them, you just trust no one's going to find them.
We read Talentless Nada. The government's probably just infighting on itself, you know. Who knows?
I mean, in its defense, it paid lip service to the fact that the government supposedly does do stuff in the background. How effective that is and how realistic it is absolutely up for debate.
True. There is one chapter where our lead says, explain, Chelsea, what the fuck is happening, and then they explain. That's
not
more
well.
Than some series. Not well, but it's more than some series where they're like, please tell me why am I being attacked by these magical shadow creatures and that you've bound me to and you've ruined my life for, and like, nah, lol.
Oh man, Loveless all over again.
I know, I'm thinking of Monochrome Factor, which I think, was that another you series, Mike?
No, was a me series.
Okay.
No, I do know that universally, every series I've done has been some of my favourite episodes because of how angry they make you guys.
It's because you just somehow managed to pick the worst shit.
Ah, it's a good time.
It's like some of it I get because they were infamous. Like so Pooper wasn't part of your childhood when you picked that, for example. But every chapter of your childhood is like, did you not just watch good things at some point?
It really is just like, Mike, did you just not watch like Bleach, Naruto?
Because the other thing, it's not like you're going out of your way to like, oh, I remember that being crap as a child. Like, okay, stuff like Elf and Liege, you're like, yeah, probably that one's not going to be great. But like this, you're like, yeah, I think I did that.
Yeah, it's like, this is what I was saying at the beginning. When you learn little bits more about me, suddenly the rest of me makes sense.
I mean, to be fair as well, part of it, I think, could also be down to the fact that Mike probably watched the anime, and in this case very much did, watch the anime instead of the manga.
Yes.
And it's how different are the anime and the manga for these series?
Well, I will say, having never seen the anime, I will say with confidence the fights are better.
My memory doesn't support that hypothesis.
You're going to say the fights are better in the manga than the anime?
Not better, but... like, not better, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I seem to remember the fights are largely just like... somebody does a thing and then they run away. That's what I remember. Like, I remember the anime being like weirdly fast paced, and that's because, you know, they have to condense an entire manga into 26 episodes. But I also remember like nothing really of consequence happens in the anime. Like, fights happen, they just sort of slap each other around a bit and then retreat.
If Death Note can be condensed into like a 39 or ish episode series, and that's 12 volumes, and this is 2 volumes longer, but gonna be charitable, doesn't have quite the same amount of plot as Death Note.
Well, there's
no way you couldn't pull this off in 26.
They were clearly able to condense Death Note into a 1.5-hour movie, so clearly you could do this into a 26 episode anime. That's so much longer. If you're like saying like, what, 20 minutes per episode? Oh my god, that's so much time.
Yeah, how could you? And it's not like characters are talking, because you know, the one thing I will, one of the very few things I'll give this series credit for, you can't say it's got text bloat.
It definitely doesn't have mechanical bloat, because they don't explain shit.
I don't feel like there's anything that needs explaining.
You're right, but that just sort of shows you how little plot there is to this.
Well, no, but like, I mean more like, their magic power doesn't need explaining. They can use wind, fire, lightning, water, and gravity.
And lightning.
It doesn't need explaining, but if like Miss Gravity Chelsea could tell me slightly with slightly more words, as in a okay, word, yeah, what she's doing with her power. Like, yes. I don't need Bleach essays of like, and now we're going to monologue in the middle of a fight, but you know, maybe like gravity punch or, you know, something.
Point is, I don't need them to be like, yes, we follow the D&D 5th edition rules. You get 6 spell slots at first level, second level, and third level.
There's a balance, you know? There's a balance.
And it does not strike it in this, because the thing is, there is very little plot that goes on in this. It really is, we are explained very, very briefly that the Tokyo Underground exists. It was probably made because they were doing experiments or something. There's a dragon down there, and they want to resurrect the dragon. And that's it. That's what you get for plot.
They've kidnapped our Princess Peach. We have to go save her.
That is literally the entire plot, and everything after that is just someone saying, aha, I've got this magic power! Oh no, I'm losing! And that's it.
I am a genius! Oh no!
Yeah, it's just that, over and over and over.
It which really is just like,
worst trope of shonen. Worst.
It's, look at me, I am beating the protagonist, and then the protagonist goes, wait a minute, I've got wind powers!
Wait a minute, I've got plot armor!
And then he goes...
I mean, does he have plot armor? He died.
He also gets beat up like a lot. Though. He did get better. He gets beat up a lot as well. Like, he gets hit a lot.
Yeah, for the fighting master, he loses every fight.
Well, no, he's only the fighting master against random high school thugs. Obviously.
And adults as well. They say, like, he beats up bandits. Which is why I'm more annoyed that he just has no... Just fuck the sword. Just punch them in the face.
Use wind powers to fly and punch them in the face. Oh,
do you know what would also be like really helpful?
So if, many like, things.
Your grandpa was like really good at fighting.
Yeah,
and you could take him with you to go rescue the girl.
Nah, he's too old. He can't go.
You know, maybe just ask him just to confirm that.
You can't have old people do things in shonen. That's weird and
that's
wrong.
Crazy. You'll be asking for the sidekick character to do stuff next.
Does he exist after like chapter 3?
I legitimately forgot he existed until just this moment.
Like,
until you just
I don't remember. Does he exist in the end of what we read?
Yeah, he does, because they make the joke of like, yeah, well, we didn't bother telling him, and he pops up and like, I'm here! Like, oh.
Well, good, I guess.
His whole gimmick in, and I completely don't blame you for not picking this up, because he only really talks about himself for one or two panels in this whole thing, is that he's very much like a science guy, so he really, the idea that there's an underground where people have magical powers and there's dragons and things, that really kind of sparkles his, like, yeah, I want to discover that, I want to learn about that, and that's his shtick. That's why he's coming along, because he wants to see the world, the underground for himself, learn the secrets.
I do not remember that at all.
I don't remember that at all, and it's stupid.
I can believe it. I don't remember it.
You know what? You could straight up be making this up, so no, I don't believe you. How about that?
Okay, I mean, that's preferable, because again, if you don't believe me, that means he doesn't show up.
Considering this thing has such lack of plot, and the fact that they even try to do that, and it's so unmemorable, is kind of telling. It's like,
There's a point, like, because when the grandpa comes back, he's like, right, I'm going to judge your powers. All three of you, come at me. And Jessica's like, what, me? Me as well? And I'm like, yeah, why? You know he's useless. His grand plan, which I only cottoned on the second time, because again, the art of this is masterful, is that he disguises himself as a bush and tries to hit him with a paper fan.
Classic.
Great. Glad you're here. It's even more annoying, because then at one point, Rory, before she gets kidnapped, is like, oh, but I've learned so much, and like, you know, getting to hang out with Rumina, which, you know, I get to a tiny degree. Oh, and Jinosuke as well. I'm like, have you two interacted?
Have you ever spoken? Had any panel time together?
Yeah. Like, why would you have any emotional attachment? He exists.
Maybe she also forgot he exists and then just assumed that they had spent time together when reminded of him.
She resurrected his screen time.
No, he left that in the dust where it belongs. Like, he doesn't belong on panel. He's a pointless character. But I understand that he's just an artifact of this era of manga where you
need comic relief. Even nowadays,
he's not comic relief, really. He's
not funny.
That's his role. I mean, that's his role, though. You can say he's not funny, but that's his role.
Yeah, no one says he's good at his job.
The thing is, like, he's just so non-existent, it's hard to call him the comic relief character either. It's just
that's what his role is. Shit at it, but that's his role.
Like, you lose nothing of substance by just lifting him out. You have to change four panels. I'm gonna say.
No, you could just say he was just some guy. Just be like, yeah, okay.
You know what? You could say he was just a figment of our protagonist's imagination from all the concussions, and be like, you know what? It's more interesting.
Yeah, actually, he was the dragon all along. It's him.
You know what? If that is the big grand reveal, I'd be like, you know what? Fair play.
Oh, no, this is some loveless levels of wishful thinking right here. It's like, it was our 4D chess play all along. Nope, definitely not. That's never going to happen. Stop hoping.
No, I don't think it will. I think it'll remain to be irrelevant for the rest of the series. Actually, no. They'll do the thing that always happened.
You mean he'll have the tragic sacrifice at the end?
No. He'll be that one. He'll get that one fight where he proves how amazingly useful he is, and he'll be the guy that gets, like, the finishing blow on the big bad or something. It's like, oh no, we can't beat him. He's just too strong, and then
Pesh won a fight? Oh my god.
Yeah.
No one remembers the Pesh fight from Bleach, and with good reason.
The what fight?
Exactly.
One of...
When one of Nell's minions has to actually fight something.
One of those. Okay.
And it just happens, and it might be Soraki, I can't remember who she fights, but it's just like, why? Why? Why?
No, we did an entire bit on how the entire Hoikamundo arc is just drawn out and unnecessary.
Drawn out, yes, but every arc in Bleach to an extent is drawn out.
It's another comparison we can draw to Bleach, because, you know, that was very drawn out. This is very drawn out and pointless.
I mean, I don't know if this is drawn out, because in theory, we've done two volumes, and that's the, like, Act 1, the beginning, the prologue is done, considering it ends with the two lead characters have a discussion on the rooftop, and now they, like, seem to finally acknowledge each other for the first time, and then off we're going to go, off into the underground. It's like a Lucifer and the Biscuit Hammer, and it's like, that's the end of Act 1. Now the story for real, for real.
The thing that throws me is, like, I feel like they've already established the end goal here, which, I mean... Yeah.
Save the princess.
Fair, I guess.
You have complained before when stories haven't had an end goal clearly established. So.
Well, I don't think there's necessarily a problem with not having your end goal established. The problem is, here, we know this is 14 volumes, and at volume 2, they've gone, the girl's been kidnapped, we've got to get her and beat the company to stop the dragon being resurrected. It's like, alright, we've got 12 volumes to do that, and we've already fought the second in command.
Where do we go from here?
And lost,
like, maybe. Like, in the nicest way, the fuck are you doing for 12 volumes?
I mean, presumably, the next couple of volumes are going to be them. Probably there'll be some kind of nonsense of, like, why they can't just walk in there, and then they'll have to, like, explore it, because, as we say, it's more than just the company.
They can't just go into the center of Soul Society. No, you've got to run around outside and find a way to break in.
Or a lot of these are going to be Omakis, like the final chapter of Volume 2 was, where it's like, let's look at bloody Chelsea's past, and it's entirely irrelevant because it doesn't add anything to her character. But let's have a look at something she did when she was younger. Because there are things you could do there. You could be like, well, how did she end up joining the company? Because she's clearly not an evil person at heart or anything like that. How she discovered her powers. Some kind of formative moment in her life. Nah, it's none of those. It's just she fights some bandits.
Maybe why she decided to take her ward and run away.
Yeah. So much.
You know, that might be a good thing to establish.
So much. Does none of that.
Yep. There is a chapter, a 0.5 chapter at the end of volume 2, where this is the thing we're talking about.
I was about to say, Mike, if you're about to be like, yeah, that's in this 0.5 chapter, I'm like, yeah, yes.
Yeah, like, that's the thing we're talking about. And it just, it doesn't add, like, anything at all, apart from she has had these powers her whole life, I guess.
Which I think...
I assume that was
the norm, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know the point.
I mean, maybe you don't have them as a baby, but, you know, otherwise I assume at, like, 5 or something you're awakened.
Could you imagine? You just give birth and then your baby's just, like, crushing stuff with her gravity powers?
Like, all of the shonens are very careful to do this. Like, there's a bit, of, like, right on My Hero Academia where they're like, yeah, at 3, people generally tend to start exhibiting these because, yeah, the thought of babies with these powers.
That's what they do in, the Amazon series and
okay, you're going to have to be slightly more specific. You mean Invincible?
No, the Amazon series and graphic novel series of The Boys.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, they straight up have baby supers.
To be fair, that's meant to be like a kind of semi-parody.
It is. It's a deconstruction. Yeah.
I have read series where they've been like, and here's our baby. They are now god-tier magic users or whatever.
Here's Ichigo's baby killing your watch 10 years in the future.
And it's just like, yeah, it happens, but usually in a lot of those series, it's like, oh shit, we need to do something to get this baby under control now.
I mean, hey, in Incredibles 2, they do that. Yeah, which is pretty funny. And these things, everything we're talking about, they're like played for laughs or something. So it's like, okay, establishing that they've always had these powers or something. Like, I don't get what else it could be establishing. I don't know, it just feels like a waste of time, which is why I didn't even mention it until...
I mean, it's a microcosm of all the series' problems in one chapter.
I mean, it is an Omaki, so it's kind of like, to an extent, the fact it doesn't do much is kind of fine. It's just the problem is
if you're like, I want to draw an Omaki, surely you're like, because I want to tell this story I wouldn't be able to tell normally. Or people have been demanding that I cover this random facet. Like, fucking do an Omaki on Jinosuke. At least then he'd have something.
You'd at least think it would, like, add something. And that one, like, adds nothing. It's like a bunch of extra labor to make that, and it's like, what does it add to the character? She's displaying the exact same character traits that we've seen until then, exact same powers we've seen until then. The only difference is she's younger. Does it?
I think the only thing you learn from that is that you can have rock powers.
Yes, the whole structure they set out.
There's now another power.
Yes, the structure out early on is not exactly accurate.
I mean, the way I always inferred it was that I think the way they do explain it, with the way I interpret it, is that their elements are the most common, but there are other ones outside of it. Like, from what I inferred, she isn't the only one who's had gravity powers ever.
Isn't she?
That was always the inference that it gave to me. Unlike wind, which again, super special. No one's ever had wind.
Except we knew it was a thing.
I mean,
shut up. No one's ever used resurrection powers, but we know they've got them.
We know it's a thing.
We
totally.
Know it's a thing. We're basing our whole plan around this. So it has to be a thing.
Why wind? Why would you pick wind?
As your protagonist's power.
As your lead character. This is the selling point of my shonen. Wind. Why not give him gravity?
I've seen other series that do wind.
Yeah, we did one. Was it Black Summoner that did it?
Black Summoner, he had green magic.
He does a lot. He does a bunch of wind stuff, but then, yeah, it very quickly comes more about his summons than it does.
Yeah, but like, the point is, it's a thing.
Wind is unheard of as like a lead power. It's just so lackluster,
yeah, like,
a choice.
Fire is usually considered to be like the most common one, I feel.
It's because fire's quite a flashy thing.
Because everyone loves Charizard. So.
It's also because you normally associate fire with like hot-headedness and power.
Burning passion.
And like that, and burning passion.
Burning passion.
All the kind of traits you tend to give to those protagonists.
But like, wind is also a weirdly common one. Like, it's not the only manga I've seen it in. I've seen it a lot. And I don't know why it's so common. Maybe it's
I know if you have all four elements, wind is generally the first one that someone gets.
Yeah, I don't know about
but,
that.
Yeah. I mean, like, isn't Aang's main one wind as well? Or is it?
It is,
yes.
Air, but yes. Wind, essentially.
Air, wind, same thing.
Effectively, yes.
Naruto's is wind. Fun fact.
Yeah, so, like, it's a thing that protagonists have wind. they should probably take pills for that. Are we ever going to review Naruto?
No. Oh,
yes.
Okay. Yes. At some point.
I know Sean doesn't want to.
We made the joke at the end of Bleach and One Piece episodes. Yes, one day Phil will drag us kicking and screaming into Naruto, but I don't know when, because it will have to tie into something happening with Naruto.
Nothing for Naruto is ever going to get released again. So
no, not like they're doing like a 20th anniversary animation special thing.
Look forward to that in year 5, kids.
But we'll wait for Boruto to finish, and then we'll be like, right, now read the good version.
Oh, so when, like, Koruto or Doruto or whatever the third, whatever Boruto's son is.
It'll be Naruto the sequel erasing Boruto.
Ah, so we're talking Dragon Ball Super situation.
Yeah, it'll be, we need to retcon this mistake.
We've forgotten this is an episode to discuss Tokyo Underground.
I don't know. I feel like we were done with that a while ago.
I feel like
we were done about 5 minutes into hitting go.
I mean, considering I feel this episode is more tangent than the actual series at this point.
That's impressive. Actually, it's not that impressive because there's no tangents in the thing. There's just no story.
I feel like we've just compared it to everything we've ever done in the history of
Ultraman. Yeah, we made a reference or two. That's true.
Well, I mean, I suppose that's the thing, like, looking at all the other series we have done for this podcast,
mm-hmm.
Is there anything you think you should read instead of?
Instead of what? This? Everything, instead pretty much.
Oh, no, that's not true. That's definitely not true.
But if someone was like, I want like a shonen-y, fighty, magic-y
Bleach.
Thing. I mean, yes, Bleach.
Sure.
But you're going to have to make it slightly more specific if you want me to start having an
ornament show. Participants to compare it to. Or to
I don't know, like, we've thrown out some episodes we've done already. You got Alice Academy, you got Loveless, there's
I mean, they'll
I mean, that does raise a point. This doesn't do anything like gross or egregious. That's something.
I refuse to make that the bar.
This
was a point I underlined in SSST. I refuse to make that the bar.
It's just, I'm not saying it's praiseworthy. I'm just saying it could be worse. It could be worse.
It could be worse.
Like,
is not a bar.
It could be worse if he was like, I'm going to go save the princess because women can't do anything these days. Like, oh no.
You're halfway there.
That would be worse.
It's not like, oh, you know, Steve, you know, he's a bit of a misogynist, he's a bit of a racist, he's a bit of a transphobe, but, you know, he doesn't kill anyone.
That we know of,
yeah. I mean, at least not publicly.
And even when he did kill that one guy, it was fine. Because that happens a lot in anime as well. He killed that one guy,
the line's gone,
but it was fine. The point is, it could have been worse. But that's not really.
Yeah, yes, it's
favor.
Not Minamoto's story. Congratulations.
I wouldn't even go that far. Like it could have been.
I think the point is of the two series I just gave there, Ars Academy and Loveless.
I mean, I don't want to read any of them again, really.
They both had not great stuff in them.
Yes, they did.
Like, what if you're asking me to pick one of those as the worst.
Or Talentless Nana? Is that.
No, similar? I'd read Talentless Nana over this.
Yeah, that's actually.
We had
okay.
issues, but you know.
Yeah.
You know, like that group of people, weird powers. Not quite shonen, but.
Talentless Nana was semi decent.
Any of the isekais. Any of them.
I feel that's different in a way.
I'm not reading SSS tier over this.
Hey, now here's a question for
Fairy
you.
Fairy tale.
Here's a question for you. Is this
I'm not going to comment on year four ones because, you know, we'll have to actually do those in the soonish. Is this an isekai? No.
Comment. He goes to a different world, the underground.
No, he doesn't.
Different world.
It's the same world.
The same world.
No, it's a completely different world. They have magic powers there.
Mike, this is you going, I'm going to Japan. That's an isekai.
It kind of is.
Well, I was going to say, it's like jumping on a plane and going to a different country. It's not. That's not an isekai.
When you went to ESA, you weren't isekai'd, Mike.
Oh, I wish I was.
You wish your run was.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, that. Yeah. I mean, it's been in the show notes for a few weeks now, but don't forget, you check out Mike's UKSG run now on the YouTubes.
Oh, it's actually on there now. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They're very slowly, from February, they've very slowly been updating that. That's actually on there now.
Yeah.
Elfen Lied?
What about it?
That was a thing we did.
Yeah, but that might be a year four battle, so I'm not commenting on that one.
Yeah. So. Like, there's a lot of stuff we've read which is worse, a lot of stuff is better, but it comes down to, is the absolute mediocrity of this enough to sway your opinion in any direction? Because it is pretty damn mediocre.
Yeah.
I feel mediocre is being generous.
Exactly.
Well, on that note then, as we have very much run out of things to say an hour ago, so, we will go to our conclusion. So, me and Phil have not read this before, whereas Mike has not read it, but has watched it. So, it will be a case of, would we read more? Would we buy it if we could? And would we watch, or in Mike's case, rewatch, the anime adaptation? And Phil, you've got had things to say, so I'll let you take it away this time, buddy. Would you read more? Would you buy it if you could? Would you watch Tokyo Underground?
No.
Good talk. So,
like a nice big font size 64, bold, underlined. No.
Bold and underlined. Whoa.
That's how you know he's serious. Wait until he cracks out the italics.
Now, italics would lessen it.
I was going to say, you don't italicize, you like headings, Mike.
My bad.
Is it all caps, no, with like a full stop afterwards? Or?
Ooh, definitely all caps. I don't know about a full stop.
Okay.
That feels a bit... Ooh, steady on. No, it just... If Mike said there, it's mediocre. I feel mediocre as being generous. There's just so many series that you would just be better off reading instead of this. So the stuff we've done, like, even if we're ignoring stuff like Bleach... Like, stuff everyone's heard of and knows is great and whatnot. Would I say go read Alice Academy or Loveless over this? Maybe. I would certainly have to think about it a bit more. But that's kind of the level of where this is for me. It's just... I read this in about 30 minutes, I will say. Probably didn't help things. But that's just how... quick and easy it was to get through this because there was nothing, and to find out there's 12 more volumes of this when apparently we've already fought the second strongest person allegedly in the bad guy organization just makes you go, what are we doing for another 12 volumes? And I have no desire to find out because I'm not going to care. The fights are just unreadable. While we were talking at one point, I did YouTube for a fight from the anime, and it looked like it had exactly zero animation in it. So I have no desire to see an anime, because I feel like it's going to not help at all. And I don't think it'll help with the plot. And dear God, why would you buy this? Just save your money. Just buy anything else. Honestly, like, oh, so bad.
There you have it. Phil says, go buy Remonster over this.
Honestly, like, if I had to choose between reading more of Remonster or this...
I mean, you have done. Have you not? I thought you'd read more Remonster.
Yes, probably. But also, again, it's one of those ones I don't specifically...
Right.
I wasn't specifically going, I've read 2 volumes or I've read 3 volumes. It was just, I'm done, kind of thing. Which was more than the 2 volumes we'd read. So I forget how much. But I would be willing to at least give Remonster that chance in the hopes that it was just that one bit that was problematic, definitely. I would never not say that. Whereas this, I have no sense it's going to get any better. So I don't know why I would even bother giving it that chance.
Yeah. This is cack. I don't think it's a total wash, but it is just very bleak. The art style, I mean, it could, if they're still and it's just the character's face on the screen and no one's moving or trying to attempt anything, it's okay, it's fine. Like, I don't mind the character designs per se, it's fine in principle. Just whenever anything happens, any kind of action scene, any kind of movement, anything where you actually need to visually interpret information, completely falls apart. Just absolute dog crap, from being able to tell what powers the characters are using, to what's happening in fights, to why something is happening, to where they are. It's all cack. Story is just so mundane, and even though it has things it could use, like the magical powers, the whole underground versus overground bit, it just doesn't utilize anything really that it has. Things just happen, and then you're told to just go along with it, and characters just pop up out of nowhere, and the character's like, haha, didn't know you were there. And I'm like, yeah, because he doesn't contribute anything. Because there's stuff here that has been done so much better at other things. We've mentioned so many other series, so many other comparisons. Like, I will always go, hey, if you want to see cool gravity in fights, go watch Princess Principle, or go see some of the accelerator fights in Index for like that kind of power taken to its logical extreme. Wind in fights has been done by countless many series over the years. Elements clashing against each other, like, oh, who will win this battle of fire and electricity? That can be cool. But not in this. It's dull and it's unintelligible in this. I don't really care about the characters really either. Like, I'm not going to say any of the leads are bad per se, but none of them are memorable or engaging in any way. Like, maybe you could have something of like, how can this kid who is a fighting master punch his way through the elements? But nah, that's not what it's about. Maybe this lead person, like, going to, why did they betray the company? Why are they trying to help this woman? Like, nah, it's not. They're just a guy and a girl. I don't hate them, but they're charmless. There's nothing to anything in this. There's nothing of substance to anything in this. And I don't see that magically fixing itself now they're going into the underground. I don't see there being this in now. Oh, now we're going to have an intriguing arc about this, like, gateway village in the underground and have the suffering. It's just going to be some Blair fight. Followed by some other Blair fight, and then some of the company will come up and might say something, and we're like, no, we really want the dragon. We're the good guys, honest. It's just, I do not care. I don't think this is abhorrent or anything, but I have no desire to read more, to buy it, to go watch the anime. This is kind of what I would define generally as like a 4 out of 10. Not bad, but very much below average. Just very underwhelming, disappointing. You haven't managed to tick yourself into the I actively don't want this to exist here, but I'm never, outside of Trashtacular 4, I'm probably never going to think about this series again. Mike, this was your childhood then, so we'll close out with you. Now that you have gotten to re-experience this, would you dive back in to read the rest? Would you buy it now or then, the manga version, if you could have? And will you be digging out the old DVDs, dusting off the old PS2 to give Tokyo Underground a rewatch?
Well, not only was this childhood, but when I watched this anime, I had to wait, I think it was 2 months for every 4 episodes of this. I think it was between the releases of the Manga Force magazine. Ooh, when it appeared.
That takes me back. Oh.
So yeah, I had to wait like a long time to watch this. I saw it over a very long period of time. And even then, I was not excited. I remember it being kind of boring, mediocre, just no lack of substance entirely. And yeah, that carries over to the manga, except the manga also has completely unreadable art. It has very strange motivations to it. It's just ugly all the way through. I just couldn't care less. Like, yeah, this is a part of my childhood, but it was best left forgotten. It's boring, and it's not even, like, fun bad. It's just, eh. Like, I'd say, like, a 4 out of 10, 3 out of 10. It's pretty, yeah, it's pretty accurate. It's not offensive. It's not even, like, it doesn't elicit emotion at all. It's just, ugh. Stuff is both too fast and too slow at the same time, so the pacing's all over the place. The fights are, like, long, but nothing gets accomplished in them. There's random almost non-sequiturs with, like, oh no, my ribbon fell off. Alright. Ah, I'm in a fire circle where it's burning up all the oxygen, so you can't breathe. Alright. It's like they're reaching for something clever, and they never quite grasp it. And that's just kind of sad, really. Like, I'm not surprised this wasn't licensed as a manga. I'm not surprised at all. With all of the things wrong with it, as like a reading experience, I get it. And maybe the 2+ months between each 4 episodes on the next DVD, maybe that was a saving grace of why I remember it at all. Because watching all of this all at once, I can only imagine would have bored the hell out of me as a kid. I will not be digging out those Manga Force DVDs to watch this again. There's honestly, I'd rather do many other things. It's just boring. No, I wouldn't buy it, and I'm definitely not reading more because I don't care. It is funny if you're in a very specific situation that you get to force 2 of your friends to read it and then hear their feedback. In that particular very specific situation, it's very entertaining. Besides that, though, maybe give this one a miss in its entirety. It's just not worth your time.
I know, man. For a Schadenfreude, you sure sound pretty unentertained.
Yeah, I know. Like, you guys aren't even, like, offended, annoyed. It's just like, yeah, you're a little annoyed. It's fine.
See, it's not even like we're angry. This isn't like, as Sean mentioned, this isn't like my SSS Afterlife or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
You're not, we're not like raging at it. We're just like shitting. Eh. We're just going like,
it has creative thought. At some point, they put an idea into this.
Yeah, there's ideas and none of them are executed properly.
Exactly.
I don't know if a thought was put into this or if they saw another series and went, hey, that's a cool idea. I'm just going to.
Yeah, that's one thing we can...
It's mine now.
That's one thing we can say. Or a lot of these ideas, we referenced a lot of anime and manga that came after this. So a lot of those are proof that these ideas can work if executed properly. But they're just not in this.
In a shocking twist, if you do a shonen series well, it works.
Yes. In a truly shocking twist, good things are good, yes, and bad things are bad.
The most popular genre of manga, in fact, has good series.
Yeah, I mean, that's a matter of opinion.
It is, you're not wrong.
Yeah, maybe not this one. Leave this one alone. Read others.
Leave this in the 90s, where, I mean, it doesn't belong because the 90s don't deserve this either. But
yeah. Oh.
Right, I'm going to throw this one out there.
Okay. So am I, out the window, but you know.
Yeah.
So I've just double checked. There's no manga for this series, so we can't do it for the podcast anyway.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
And I'm doing this based on the fact that I watched it, let's say 20 years ago. I don't remember when. So it could be horrendous. And I'm about to give just the worst recommendation.
Okay. So if you have a problem with what he's about to say, at Fanaxkian on Twitter.
To which I will promptly ignore.
I mean, I don't know, maybe you'll be able to reminisce with them if they're like, yeah, that was my childhood too.
But there was an anime in which the protagonist has wind powers, that is very specifically his powers, called Kaze no Stigma.
I don't know that one.
I also don't know.
I mean, I know Kaze is wind, but yeah. Or do I? Do I know Kaze no Stigma?
It's one of those ones where I feel like...
I feel like I know the name now you've said it.
You've probably heard the name.
It's a novel series.
A light novel, which is always a good start.
But yeah, it got an anime at some point, and I remember watching it. And I feel like I watched all of it.
I think it's like people also search for, and I'm like, I recognize these series, but I don't recall this one off the top of my head.
Yes, a 7.2 on MAL.
Better than what this one got.
Yeah, what did this one get?
6.7.
Oof.
Something like.
For MAL, that's terrible.
MAL usually averages out to around 7.
Yeah.
I don't recognize it, but looking through the pictures, this seems very much of its time.
Yes, pretty much. Thing is, like, I'm not going to say like it was amazing or anything, given by the fact that I remember very little of it. But the guy uses wind powers, and it was probably better than this.
So, yeah, if you want to reminisce about that piece of crap, then, you know...
Oof, go not even go. Watched it. Wow.
No, or read it.
Well, you can't... Well, you could read the light novel, but... You could go watch it, Sean, and be like, you know what? Screw Bleach, I'm all about this now.
You know what I'd rather watch?
What's that?
twitch.tv/Berserkra.
Oh, talking about crazy. Having a low bar. You can find me at twitch.tv/Berserkra. B-E-R-S-E-K-R-E-R. I play video games and speedrun things and other stuff. That's all I got for today. And you can also find me on Twitter and other socials and the same name.
Oh my god, he lied. It wasn't all he had.
I'm also really bad at doing promo, self or otherwise.
I saw your ESA run. You had to be reminded to promote yourself.
That's true. That did happen.
Oh, dear. Yeah, you can follow me at Slazer King, where I am now living in the era of, well, Free Ren's ended and people like that, and Apothecary Dies has ended and people like that, and that's already got a second season announced. So maybe imagine a world where fantasy anime and manga could exist and they're not isekais.
Crazy. All I'm saying, Sean, is you've seen the next season's lineup.
Yeah.
There's more isekai than ever.
It'll take time, because, you know, those creators had to see the ending of those series first. But now maybe 2025, they'll finally start going, you know what? I want to copy that series. And then they can forget the isekai part and we can move on as an industry. So you can follow the podcast as a whole at Trash Manga Cast on Twitter, at Trash Manga Friends, everywhere else. The card link in our description will have links to all of our socials and all of the platforms we're on. You know by now, Spotify, Apple, Google, Stitcher, and TuneIn. So get on there, like, rate, review, tell your friends. But as quickly as one trash railway project that had helped connect the country was scrapped by an incompetent political party. Sorry, don't know where that came from. 50 more stops get added to our never-ending journey. So what's the next place we'll be visiting? Sean? Oh, hey, that's me. Well, we talked briefly on the legend that was Akira Toriyama a few episodes back. And so, with the now sadly posthumous Sandland game about to come out, we'll be discussing the original manga it's based on, Sandland. So join us in a fortnight to celebrate one of the all-time greats. Thanks for listening. Bye!